This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's 6:06 on this Thursday morning, December 12th, 2024, and it's, no, not going to sugarcoat it for you. It's a cold, cold day to welcome you here up north from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, Civic Media app, by podcast, watching us on Facebook or YouTube. Thanks for starting your day right here. You know the question I got for you. Cold enough for you? Here, let me bring up the temperatures. The 6 a.m. temperatures at the bus stop look like this. It is 8 below zero. Here on Lake Wissota, the wind chill is 23 below. In Hayward right now, it's minus 14. Wausau's at 9 below zero. La Crosse, 5 below. Amory, minus 11. Wisconsin Rapids is 8 below. Green Bay is at 2 below zero. Madison at 1 degree below zero. Waukesha, it's 2 below right now. If only there were a place. Is there any place in the state that is above zero that is, wait a minute. Is that a palm tree that I see there, Greg Bach, basking under, where it's 2 degrees above zero? So, yeah. There's Mr. Bach on the beach where it's, yeah, above zero, kind of, sort of. Tony and Ashland started off on YouTube saying, let's get this day started. And then he says, it's a balmy minus 4 in Ashland. And Alicia writes in, I'm a block of ice.
Hi, block of ice.
We started with the best of intentions, and we're just like, no, we're all going to be miserably cold together, because that's what we got today.
I woke up this morning and I said to the dog, I go, all right, let's go outside for exactly 1 minute.
Uh-huh. And how long did the dog last?
She was not even 15 seconds. She got out there. Yeah. She understood the assignment. She went right back inside.
It's nice when dogs do that, because you know what? Not every dog does.
Yeah.
Dogs are like, nope, too cold, coming back in. It's like, no, you're not coming back in.
You get to do this wherever you want, so here's the thing. You got to do it now.
Yeah, well, fine, I'll leave it right here on your welcome mat. I'm not going far away at all, so it's, it's dog life.
Yeah,
that's really all there is to it. But that's the story here, below zero, and with advisories till at least the noon hour, for the wind and for the cold temperatures. And so, stating the obvious, bundle up, but it is not going to last very long. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot will be along in just a bit to give us forecast details, less than an hour from now. Coming up on the program today, we will talk to Joe Zepecki, it being Thursday and all, and we'll talk about the next legislative session that gets started next month. And the legislature will still be controlled by Republicans, but they have a much thinner majority. So you have to wonder why Assembly Speaker Robin Voss is betting that he can run the same playbook of obstructing the things that Wisconsinites want from state government. So Joe will talk about how, with fairer maps, there are now going to be Republican lawmakers who have to go back home and show the folks that they did something, so maybe they can work together with Democrats and Governor Evers, especially with a $4 billion surplus, to get things done. In our second hour, we'll talk about the two candidates for state superintendent of public instruction. There are two candidates now, the incumbent and a challenger. Neither one a political conservative. Both are on the progressive side of the field. We'll tell you more about that race that comes to a head on April 1st, same day as the state Supreme Court election. And we will talk to Sean Fedeplace from the Main Street Alliance about small business priorities for the legislature, especially the need to expand Badger Care to bring stable health care coverage to more working families. You can join us throughout the course of the show at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can use it by phone. You can do it in the Civic Media app. You can text us or call us there. You can also put a comment on the Up North News Facebook page, the Civic Media Facebook page, the Up North News YouTube page. Put a comment or a question in the comment section, and we may put it up on screen and respond to that. Every morning here at Up North News, we put out a daily newsletter that we'd love to have you be a subscriber to. You can sign up at upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe in the banner at the top of our homepage. In there, there is a my recent column that you can also find on our website on how Assembly Speaker Voss is repeating a common budgeting trick. And it's one that kind of came home to me literally yesterday when I got my property tax bill. And the property tax bill for me was not the same exercise in anger that it is for others. For so many others, they'll look at this and they'll look like I'm looking at right now at the line for the Chippewa Falls School District. And they'll see a big old number next to the school district. And down below, they'll see lines where taxes are higher in three different phases over the next few years because of a referendum that passed. So a lot of people will hear Robin Voss talking about major education spending investments by the last legislature. And they'll think, well, the legislature did their job, but why are my school taxes still so high? Because Robin Voss and the Republicans didn't actually put money into schools. They did put money toward property tax relief. Okay, that's fine. But they called it, you know, a school levy tax credit. As we've mentioned on the show before, schools don't get a dime of that. That doesn't buy, you know, an extra crayon or a book or anything. So you call it school spending, but it's not. So my frustration is more with the fact that for more than a decade now, Wisconsin residents are being lied to on their property tax bills, because nowhere on here does it explain how much of this money under the school district line is actually skimmed off the top and does not go to your local school district. It goes to the voucher school program, which there may be voucher schools in your district. There may not be. And then that money just goes right out of the district to help other families whose kids were probably already going to private school anyway, who probably can afford it just fine anyway. But now they get extra help because Republican legislators, in their quest to attack public education and promote private and for-profit education, have decided to fund two school systems in Wisconsin. Do you think the taxpayers of Wisconsin can afford two school systems, two parallel school systems? I don't think so. I think most taxpayers would say my property tax dollars, my tax dollars should go toward public schools. Anybody wants to go to private school? Go. There could be scholarships. There could be financial aid. But don't tell us that it's money that's going to public schools and then having it show up on our property tax bill when it's being skimmed off the top and going to private schools. That's not right. So in my newsletter column today, I talk more about how progressives need to do a better job of doing what I just did. And that is blowing up the mythology behind Republican talking points about investing in schools when they don't invest nearly to the degree that they could. I like the way that State Senator Chris Larson put it on social media the other day, in saying, we don't actually have a $4 billion surplus because we've been underfunding our schools for 16 years. 16 years of the state share not keeping up with inflation. So that $4 billion would help to make schools whole. Now, I'm not saying that you have to apply the entire $4 billion surplus to it, but what we're hearing from Robin Voss is that virtually nothing from the current surplus is going to be applied because they're making the excuse that they made this great investment in education last year when it was done in name only. It was all smoke and mirrors. It was all an illusion. Again, you can read more at our newsletter. Sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. Also in there are some stories about Airbnbs and cabins, especially some remote cabins that are perfect for stargazing. And here up north, we've got all kinds of great places where you can do that without any kind of light pollution. But then there's also an article on how much you might be willing to pay for an Airbnb, especially if it was a house that was designed by Frank Lloyd Wright. And so more about the Bernard Schwartz house. It's located on East Twin River, about a mile from Lake Michigan. And it'll cost you a few hundred bucks a night, assuming that you have space available when it is that you want to go. So again, learn more about that in today's newsletter as well. Just a couple of quick sports notes to pass along this morning. We know that the Atlanta Hawks beat the New York Knicks last night, so it's the Atlanta Hawks who will face off against the Milwaukee Bucks in Las Vegas for the Emirates Cup semifinals. I'm sorry, I did not give the NBA Cup tournament its due. Let me try this again. The Atlanta Hawks will play the Milwaukee Bucks in Vegas this Saturday in the NBA in-season tournament Emirates Cup semifinals. I like how Greg has just promised to push like half a dozen buttons on his board just to see what comes up to try to promote the NBA Cup.
Any good, they're just chaos and dumb to me. They're just like, we have a perfectly fine NBA season. They're like, hey, you guys want to make it weirder and more confusing? We're going to throw an in-season tournament in there. Cool. Can you explain it? No.
No. Nope. We're just going to tell you there are these games.
Yeah.
And if we tell you they mean something, you'll believe it.
Yeah.
So there you go. So there you go. In Vegas on Saturday, Bucks versus Atlanta for the chance to play in the finals of these NBA Emirates Cup in-season conference tournament next Tuesday night. Might be more apt, yeah. The Badger women's basketball team improved to 9-2 on the season with a four-game win streak now after beating Butler last night in Indianapolis, 71-64. The Badger women's basketball team is now off until a home game next week, Friday. The Badger men's basketball team will next play this coming Saturday in Indianapolis against Butler. And then, of course, just back to the comment sections really quick. Tony writes, the cup is dumb. Unless the Bucks win it, then it's the biggest trophy in sports. Yep, I'd go along with that. Chris Hambuck Boyle, good morning to you. She says, thanks, Pat, for your advocacy for our public schools. And Tony adds, I guess nothing says I love education like having two school systems. Except it's not supposed to work that way. Anyway, we'll unpack some more of the day's headlines coming up. Wherever you're listening around Wisconsin on this cold, cold Thursday morning, when you're here, you're up north. I'm Pat Kreitlow. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the Happy Anniversary Charlie Brown soundtrack, this is Joe Williams.
Little birdie, why do you fly upside down?
Joe Williams was born this day in 1918, passed away in 1999. He's part of today's history lesson. All the rest of it is coming up just a little bit later here on Up North News Radio on this Thursday morning, this cold, cold Thursday morning. Let's see, coming up in less than an hour now is our grown-up gift list text to win contest with all kinds of grown-up grand prizes that you can win. To do so, we're going to give you a keyword just a little after 7 o'clock, and then you'll text that in through the Civic Media app. That puts you in the running to win an hourly prize. Sometimes it's cash. Sometimes it's something like a Wisconsin Dells stay at a resort. We'll tell you about that hour's prize coming up just after 7 o'clock. And then that puts you in the running for the grand prize. which is actually 8 different prizes. There's going to be all kinds of winners getting things off the grown-up gift list as part of our Text to Win contest that will be coming up in just a little bit here on Up North News Radio. Got a hodgepodge of stories to go over here that I wanted to cover in some way, shape, or form. And let me get one of the national ones out of the way here, because I figure the less time I give myself to share it, the less likely it is that I'll say a bad word. But people are going to look back at the Joe Biden years and say, how come Democrats didn't get more done? I mean, especially those first 2 years, you know, the Democrats controlled the House, the Democrats controlled the Senate. Why didn't they get anything done? And I hope, much like that Batman slapping Robin meme that goes around on social media from time to time, I hope somebody puts in the cartoon bubble, because of Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, two people who were elected as Democrats in name and then claimed to be, you know, mavericks or independents, when it was pretty clear that they weren't independent in the sense of looking out for their constituents, but looking out just for themselves. Both are leaving Congress now, and not a moment too soon, because there was so much more that the Biden administration could have achieved over these past 4 years if these two people elected as Democrats had simply been actual Democrats. They were roundly and justly criticized every step of the way when they would, again, show more self-interest than interest for their constituents back home. But now that they're leaving Congress, before they leave Congress entirely, they were asked to make one of their final votes. One of the final votes of Congress coming up here would be for a renomination of one of President Biden's picks to be on the National Labor Relations Board. But Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin joined nearly every Senate Republican in voting 50-49 against renominating President Biden's choice for somebody to sit on the National Labor Relations Board, which opens the door for Republican control of the board starting next year. So again, Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema had a chance to do something for the National Labor Relations Board that would guarantee that at least during the Trump years, there would be an entity looking out for workers more so than corporate profits. And Manchin and Sinema just gave all of working America a big middle finger on that. All right, let's. We have not talked about the missing kayaker from Watertown who apparently faked his own demise and is now back in Wisconsin, back in custody. He faked his disappearance. Everybody thought that he had drowned in Green Lake. And I haven't given that much attention. It's a bit of a stunt on his part. I figured either he's going to get away with it or he's not. And, you know, either way, it doesn't impact most folks. But I'm reminded by a story by Claire Reed in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel yesterday that it did affect a lot of people. And not, of course, just the family of Ryan Borgwardt, but all of the volunteers and the search teams who spent more than a month searching for him, searching for his body or searching for him overall. And one of the volunteer search and recovery experts involved in the case says he will not be seeking compensation for their organization's extensive efforts after the kayaker, you know, faked his death and fled the country back in August. The report quotes Keith Cormican, the founder and director of the Bruce's Legacy Search and Recovery Organization. They assist in the search for and the recovery of possible drowning victims. The organization is named after Keith Cormican's brother, Bruce. He was a Black River Falls firefighter who died while searching for a drowning victim back in 1995. And Claire Reed's story goes on to talk about how Bryce's Legacy volunteers, the Green Lake County Sheriff's Office, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources all teamed up to search for Borgwart after he was reported missing on August 12th. Borgwart is a 44-year-old father of three, and he was located this fall alive and in Eastern Europe. And on Tuesday, he was taken into custody at the Green Lake County Jail. He had flown back to Wisconsin and turned himself in. The volunteer group spent about 23 days, some of them 10 to 12-hour days, searching on the lake for Borgwart's body, sometimes using underwater drones, submersible sonar, and some other high-end technology that Cormican says would have found his body within 2 days if he'd actually been in the lake. And then over an additional 10 days, Cormican reviewed the sonar images in the hopes of bringing closure to Borgwart's family. He says he thought about taking action against Borgwart for the time and money that was wasted, but he's decided that he does not want to burden Borgwart's family with it. He says it'd be nice to be compensated. He cost me a lot of money. If he were filthy rich or something, I guess I wouldn't have a problem with it, but that's not the case here. He says he feels for the family that they have to live through this and figure out the mess that he created. So again, for all those folks who invested time and effort as well as personal anguish for this story, they'll be following Mr. Borgwart's case through the courts and seeing what kind of restitution he may have to make for this really awful thing that he put his family and the community through. We'll talk to Joe Specky coming up right after this break. This is Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Time for our Wednesday homeroom segment, talking about public education, the opportunities and the obstacles along the way. Here's an opportunity for you. Your local school board needs you. Needs you more than ever, given the political environment out there. Every school board benefits when it has some of your hometown's best advocates there, advocating on behalf of the education of our kids, not some other political ideology. Doesn't mean everybody on a school board has to march in lockstep, but should be, shall we say, a bit more service-oriented and education-oriented. And so we thought, well, where can we learn more about the qualities of a good school board candidate and also how to run for school board or help somebody else run for school board? And we found somebody who kind of literally wrote the book on being a school board candidate along with other colleagues and advocates through the Wisconsin Association of School Boards. And from the Wisconsin Association of School Boards, joining us now is Daniel Rossmiller, the executive director for WASB. Daniel, thank you so much for being here. Nice to see you.
Thank you for having me, Pat. I'm delighted to be on your program.
Well, we're, again, thrilled to have you here and thrilled that somebody has done, again, those of us who've run for office and those who have either thought about it or had a friend who does, would always love to have a resource as the type that you've written up over at WASB, the Guide for Candidates 2025 Spring Election Edition. Can you tell us kind of what prompted the need for a resource like this? What was essentially the mission statement in putting this kind of a document together?
Yeah, well, school boards function best when they represent local communities and have as wide a representation as possible. In past years, it has sometimes been difficult or challenging to find candidates to run for the school board. And so we put this together in hopes that it would encourage people who may be thinking about running, but don't know much about the how-to of actually putting together a campaign for school board.
And so you, in doing that, again, we'll talk about some of the resources involved in it in just a moment here, but I was especially taken that, you know, right near the top after the welcomes, before we get into the X's and O's, it's all about the qualities of a school board member. And again, you know, and anybody, you know, who can run for office can run for school board, but to be one that is particularly, you know, useful and service oriented should have certain qualities. Can you talk a bit about those qualities that you outline in the manual?
Yeah, I think the main quality is to care about our young people and to put student achievement and student learning at the center of their focus. Historically, school board offices are nonpartisan, which means that candidates do not run as a member of a political party. Just a second here. I lost your place
on there.
No, I had another window open up on my computer. I apologize for that.
Have that happen all the time. No worries.
Yep. So the focus should be on high character, high quality individuals who will put the interests of all children and all families ahead of whatever other things may motivate them. We want people who are community-minded and who are willing to work together. The power of the school board is not in the individual members of the school board, although their ability to function with others is critical. School boards really only have powers when they meet in together in a duly noticed meeting and take up items that are on the agenda and operate by a majority vote of a quorum that's present. So the school board is a corporate body. The individual members of the school board do not have the full powers of the powers of the full school board. It's really the acting together that school board members can make a difference.
It's kind of essentially being, you know, we always talk in corporate America about, you know, being mission driven rather than margin driven, you know, operating just for profits and shareholder prices. And there is a lot to be said about being good stewards of tax dollars, but to be truly mission driven gets what you just said about working together to advance the best interests of the school district and the education going in there. Do you feel like that is something that enough candidates keep in mind, or is it something that's worth repeating to candidates about focusing more on the mission than, you know, just the dollars and cents of any given budget?
Well, I think that being careful stewards of the resources that schools are provided with by the public is important. School boards occupy a unique space and have a unique function in our society. They represent the interests of the taxpayers, certainly, but they also represent the interests of the students, most of whom are not 18 years of age, and most of them don't have a voice in elections. So the school boards wear a number of hats in terms of representing both the community, the values and interests and priorities of the community, the students, making sure that they have the best education possible and can maximize their potential, and then representing accountability from the standpoint of determining what the values, what the priorities, what the goals of the school district are, and then leaving the how to accomplish that to the administration, but providing careful oversight.
There are in the guide that you can find at the WASB website, which is wasb.org for Wisconsin Association of School Boards.org. There are notes about the legal qualifications for being a board member. There are also potential conflicts of interest to consider that might be private interest in public contracts. There's a code of ethics, the incompatibility to be in office, be able to invest the time. But assuming that you get through that page, and again, you see that this is something that you're qualified to do and want to do, then we get to the election procedures for the office of a school board member. And so to put it in plain English, Dan, if somebody is thinking about running for school board yet this coming April, it's not too late, but you need to get going on some stuff right now. What should a potential candidate be doing right now?
I think the first thing that they should do is contact their school district, find out what the specific requirements are in their district. We have several different types of school districts in the state. We have, they're organized a little bit differently. So to find out what is necessary, for example, whether nomination papers are necessary, contact the school district office, contact the administrator of the district, and their administrative assistant will be involved in that, will have the information that's available. There is a filing deadline coming up. It's always the first Tuesday in January, and this year that falls on January 7th. So to run for a school board, an interested candidate will need to file a declaration of candidacy. That is a document that has to be notarized. So there's that extra consideration. They also have to file a campaign registration statement, which is related to campaign finances, which are tracked, reports have to be filed. And then in some districts, there is a requirement that candidates file nomination papers as a means of assuring that they have support within the community for their candidacy. And those papers all have to be filed by 5 p.m. on Tuesday, January 7th.
And we should note that school board races were once fairly quiet affairs, but that in some districts we've certainly seen in some of our cities that these races are attracting outside interest, outside groups, potentially outside spending. And so that is the reason why that these forms are necessary to, again, make sure people understand the rules that come with fundraising, that they abide by ethics rules. And that while that may sound daunting, it's simply the rules of the road. And for folks that aren't necessarily looking to run million-dollar campaigns, God, I hope that's all of them, these are not undue burdens that have to be done by January 7th. Now, in any given seat, what is the rule on whether there needs to be a primary election in February versus just the general election on April 1st?
Well, this gets a little complicated, but in general, school board members are elected from the district as a whole. So in other words, everyone who is an elector of the district has the opportunity to vote for school board. In certain districts, particularly those where a consolidation has occurred, very often you'll have geographically apportioned seats where the person running will have to reside within a particular geographic area. But again, all of the electors of the district will vote for that person. There are a limited number of districts. Madison is one of them, where candidates run for numbered seats so that they run against whoever is either the incumbent or who has filed to run in that particular numbered seat, whether it's 1, 2, 3, 4, etc. So that's something you'll want to check with the administrative assistant in your district office. They should also be able to provide you with a copy of this document you referred to, the guide for candidates. It's something that's downloadable from our website, but I believe you probably the best way to find it is by talking to the administrative assistant in your school district administrator's office.
Yeah, and again, you can also see it for WASB.org. WASB.org has that listed there as well. And so when you talk about the responsibilities, and we've covered some of them, but it's just, again, to make sure that folks understand there's a school board member wears a lot of hats. There's student achievement. There's making policy for the district. There's responsibility for the budget. There's communicating with the public. There's advocacy. But in all of your experience, Dan, through the Wisconsin Association of School Boards, tell me more about the first time school board members that you've encountered. And I'm wondering if the main story arc here is that folks get there, it seems rather daunting. But the whole reason people sometimes serve, you know, second and third terms is the satisfaction that they get out of it once they learn, you know, more about the exact role and the importance that they play in their school district. Is that your experience?
Yeah, very much so. We hold what we call new board member gatherings every spring, typically the third week in April. After the April election, which this year will be on April 1st, no joke, school board members are sworn in on the fourth Monday of the month. So we hold new board member gatherings in each of the 15 regions we've designated in the state. And at those meetings, we allow the newly elected board members to introduce themselves. And I found that almost without exception, they run because they care about student learning and put students at the focus of their attention. These are evening meetings. We go through all of the basic things that school board members need to know to be effective from day one in their positions. There's time for question and answer. We invite veteran school board members and superintendents to come along with them. Very often a board president will bring their board members to that meeting, and we have a good conversation about being on the school board. We talk about the open meetings law. We talk about the public records law. We talk about how things get done, how things get on the agenda for school board meetings. So it's a very comprehensive meeting and curriculum. In addition, a lot of school districts will have their own onboarding process. I would encourage anyone interested in running for school board to take the opportunity to attend school board meetings or watch the meetings. Very often they're streamed live over the internet, or perhaps a local public access cable will have them on the air. Get to know, you know, a little bit about that. If you do get elected, talk to the district administrator, get a preview of what kinds of things are on the agenda.
Yeah, just no shortage of resources for the nearly 2,800 school board members who make decisions affecting more than 800,000 Wisconsin children enrolled in some 421 public school districts. And Dan Rossmiller has been an immense resource for all of this in running for office. Dan, thank you so much. We appreciate the visit.
Thank you very much, Pat.
All right, you have a great day. And when we come back, we'll talk to Todd Alba from The Todd Alba Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
In honor of the anniversary of Bob Barker's birth, a little Price is Right for you here as Luke Mathers joins us on this Thursday morning. Let's see, we get a comment from Tony on YouTube. Does Greg get a complimentary grown-up gift for his birthday?
Nope.
Luke,
I don't work
think
here.
Pick anything off the grown-up gift list, but he certainly does deserve a grown-up gift. Wouldn't you agree?
I absolutely agree. But yeah, nothing off of those eight random prizes for our winners. This text to win statewide contest.
Radio, which, by the way, the key word is Mary. You have till the end of the hour to text Mary, M-E-R-R-Y, as in Christmas, Merry Christmas. Text that. There'll be a new word at 11, and then another one during Todd Alba's show, and another one during Dom Salvia's show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. I pay correct. Attention.
And for
things.
Folks that don't know when those hours are, outside of the 7 a.m. hour here, we've got the 11 a.m. hour, the 1 p.m. hour, and the 4 p.m. hour.
There we go. All right. Like I said, I've been thrown off my game ever since I realized I completely dropped the ball on Greg's birthday here. So I'm. What are you going to do, Greg? Do you get a special dinner? Do you have a favorite restaurant that you know, Bridget takes you to?
So it is whatever. Honestly, it's whatever I want to do, but I kind of don't want to do anything. It's so cold outside.
About December birthdays.
I told my friend this. I said, at the very least, I'm going to sit on my couch, watch TV, probably take a nice long nap, and eat some fun food with Bridget. Or at the absolute best version, I'm going to go buy a brand new car. So One of the two things.
Dun, 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 dun,
but like dun, it's, dun, 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 it's
a new car.
It's the thing. It comes from California Mission. And I want to go take a look at this car. It's in Illinois. It's close to the house.
Oh, you're serious?
Yes, I'm okay. Serious. I want to get a new car before.
Come on, Pat. You don't know about the birthday discounts. You get your free Big Mac at McDonald's, and you get a discount on a new car.
I guess
you just got to flaunt that it's your birthday.
Yeah.
Take a look at my ID. Take a look at my paper ID that I got because I got the new real ID because I'm an adult.
If you see what day today is, yeah. I will please take my birthday discount.
Can I also get a free Grand Slam, sir? This isn't Denny's. I don't care. It's my birthday. But yeah,
there you go. That's another one. That's
I want to get a new to me car before tariffs kick in and make everything impossible. So,
do you know? And Sherry's already at work, so she can kill me later that I'm talking about this. But she actually did play the birthday card, no pun intended, on her birthday. The driver's when she got pulled over one day, and she did not have her license with her. She was what 22, 23 years old, 22 I think at the time. We were newly married. And she gets pulled over, and the officer goes, do you have your license? And I didn't bring it. Well, when's your birthday? Today. And it did
you
happen.
You might have believed me, officer.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, he went back to his car. He ran, the information and, gave her a warning. And I'm just like, I could have never pulled that off.
I have one gripe. It's my birthday. Can I make one old man gripe right now? I'll make it very fast.
Why not? You're an older man as of today. So go for it.
The young people, and I don't like starting sentences with that because it sounds divisive and it sounds rude, but kids who are under the age of 25 have no concept of carrying their ID on them. The amount of, it happened last night at the open mic. I will guarantee you for every show open mic we do, I will tell at least one kid 25 years or younger of age, they can't come into the club because they don't have their ID. And they'll say the exact same thing next. I have a picture on my phone. I'd be like, that is not a valid ID. Oh, I don't have it with me. Do you have a wallet? Yes. Do you have your phone? Yes. Why don't you have your ID? I left it at home. That doesn't make sense. I'm not kidding you, man.
I agree.
It's the only old man stance I take. I had a kid.
That's not even an old man stance. I feel like that's just a good stance as a.
But it makes. But it makes basic.
That you need somebody's IDs. Yeah, to let them in.
But because they're so young and I'm so much older than them, I had a kid once come in. And I said, "Where's your ID?" He turned to his dad. He was 22. Turned to his dad and said, "You didn't tell me I needed my ID." I'm like, "You're an adult.
You're 4 years past being an adult. That's
Well, here as long as we're picking on the young people.
Yeah, let's do
it. Let's talk about Dan Schaefer. Dan Schaefer, political editor, the Recombobulation area, and he puts on Blue Sky here, that Yacht Rock documentary was super fun, even if I still think most of that music sucks, LOL.
What?
And I posted back, I feel attacked with a gif of somebody attacking youths, because Dan Schaefer is now officially a youth in my book.
I'm younger than Dan Schaefer, so I don't know if I can participate in this old man griping a Dan Schaefer segment.
Well, you can for his feelings on Yacht Rock, okay? That's it. So I mean, Tony's in there going, hey, this is bananas. Alicia puts in, I had to tell my 20-year-old they need to have their ID on them all the time. Come on.
So
you know?
Dan is how old, like 35, 34?
Mid-30s.
He'll come around. I think Yacht Rock took me until my late 30s, early 40s to appreciate all of it. Like, there were songs I liked, but appreciating the total sum of the contribution to music, yeah, he'll come around.
See, I just got caught up to speed fast because I had to produce Pat Kreitlow on the radio, and therefore,
yeah, there was a crash course. Things,
you got to lean into it, folks. Otherwise, it's just too painful.
Yes, it is. It's just submission is always preferred. So I'm glad to have you on my side. Good. Left you all of about 20 seconds to tell us anything new on Civic Media that we should be listening for, or just pitch the contest again.
I was going to say, we're doing an excellent job with our grown-up giveaway with the Text to Win contest. So you want to be listening to your favorite Civic Media stations all throughout the day, 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and 4 p.m. You can be listening to the news talk side of things. You can be listening to the music side of things. Whatever it is, leave Civic Media on and up for your chance to participate. Ooh, hear that code word and text to win.
I love that.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Mathers.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen.
Have a great day. Birthday boy Bach is back at 10 a.m. for Matt and Aaron on Air, where he's going to get much better birthday treatment.
Yay.
See you tomorrow,
thanks,
buddy.
Guys.
Thank you.
Yep.
And thanks to all of you for joining us as well for Up North News Radio. Up North News is the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Follow us at upnorthnewswi.com. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow morning here up north.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.